Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. It's good to have each one of you here. Praise the Lord. I might like to start out and tell a little bit more about the story about the skunk. You know, that Dave, we had a skunk out here. Now, I don't know what you know about critters, but, you know, we do live out in the country, and, you know, and these critters are, a skunk is normally a nighttime fellow, and they usually don't come out to graze and to look for bugs and things until the night. And they normally are scared of people. They run away from people. So anytime you see a skunk out in the daytime, you get as far away from him as you can, as quick as you can, because the chances are about 99% he's rabid. Now then, if he has rabies, there's two kinds of rabies. And one of them is the drunk kind. You know, where if an animal gets rabies, then he can't walk straight. You know, he staggers and he falls over. And that kind, you don't have to worry too much about it because they will usually not attack you. But the other kind is the kind that's, you know, aggressive. And that's if they see you, they want to get a hold of you and bite you. In fact, there was a story of a woman that lived over here. I believe it was in Rockwall. She was a prayer warrior, and she used to live out in the country. And she, in fact, I think she wrote a book about this after. But anyway, she always, since she went down into the woods, she always took her pistol with her. She lived out in the wilderness, you know, so she took her gun with her. I mean, you know, just for protection. She never dreamed, you know, that she would really ever need it, but just in case a bobcat or, you know, a skunk or anything else were to attack her, she had a pistol, and she knew how to use it. Well, she was there on her face praying, and a rabid bobcat attacked her. And it tore her. I mean, she finally got away from this thing enough to get her gun out and shot it, wounded it, and it ran away because it was wounded. But she didn't kill it. But it had so tore her up, she was bleeding profusely. And she goes to her house, and she calls the police, the sheriff out there, and tells him, I've got to have some help. A rabid bobcat, I know he's rabid because he violently attacked me, and I'm bleeding all over, and I need somebody to come get me and take me to the doctor. And the police officer, sheriff, he got in his car, and he heads out that way. It's the summertime like it is now, and he had the windows down, and with his arm hanging out the window. And as he goes by, this bobcat was in the brush, and the bobcat jumps on the side of the car, attacks the car, he gets his arm inside, rolls the glass up, and the bobcat will not turn loose of the handle, and he drags him, and he finally has to stop, gets his gun, get out, walk around the other side, and kills that bobcat. That's how aggressive some things become when they have this aggressive, violent rabies. So, you know, it's not something to be played with. So we had one of those right here. I mean, he was in our front yard a couple days ago, and he went from the swing set over to Tim's house, and then he looked over here and saw Cheryl and Ayesha and the kids all out in the front yard, so he ran at them. Of course, as he started running at them, well, Ayesha hollered, John, run! And, of course, John obeyed, and he ran. If there was ever a time that a child should obey mom, but what if it had been a little 1 or 2 year old? You know, I mean, they wouldn't have known to run. You'd have had to went and got them. And, of course, you know what a 1 or 2 year old does when something little black furry thing comes up, like Lily. When Lily comes up to Sarah, she reaches out to pet her. And so that's the same thing they would do to a skunk, you know. And, of course, that skunk would bite you. And if he does, then you have to have the shot. You know, there's a couple of shots now. It's not like it used to be when they used to have you 21 shots, put it through your, you know, that was awful. But if you get bit by an animal that's rabid, you have to have the shot. Some people will say, if you're not really a real person of faith, and there's not many of those, so don't try to be a hero if you're not a real man or woman of faith. And because most people in the church are not men and women of faith. They say they are, but they're really not. And so, you have to have the shot. It's only a couple of shots, and it's not that hard on you now. But if you wait to say, well, I'm going to see if I can walk by faith, and if you get any symptoms, it's over. You're going to die. They can give you the shot now. You're still going to die because it's too late. So, you know, don't try to be a hero if you're not one. You know, if you're really, really a man or woman of faith and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God said it in His Word and I believe it and it's done, then you're okay. But if you're not there, then, you know, go get the shot. But so what I'm trying to say is, we hope this little fellow's gone. We don't know where he's at. But Cheryl called me, and the time I got here, he was gone somewhere. Now, he could be anywhere around here. Now, usually, I don't know where he was in his stages. He may already have died, or it may be a day or two, or it may be a week. It depends on what stages, because usually it takes about a week to 10 days for them to die after they become violently rabid. So what I'm trying to say is, when you go to leave this afternoon, you know, pay attention. You know, look under your car. You know, I mean, just look around. Just be conscious that you are. I mean, this thing could be in downtown at Prestonwood too. You know, there's no two ways about it. You know, it's not just because we're out in the country, but we are out in the country. And so I just want you to be aware that just a couple of days ago, we did have a rabid skunk right out there in the front yard. So, you know, watch when you walk outside. Don't just be talking to somebody and paying no attention. Because I know of a man one time that was in his garden, and he was working in the garden. Of course, he had a hoe and everything, but he was down pulling weeds and everything else. And a rabid skunk came up behind him and bit him on the leg. You know, they're just aggressive. I mean, the man never dreamed a skunk would come up to him and bite him on the leg out in his garden. But, you know, when you're in the country, you have to pay attention all the time because you never know. So, but, you know, it's kind of like sin and the devil. You know, you kind of have to be on your guard 24/7. Because if you're not, you know how easy it is to sin? Real easy. And then, of course, the devil's just sitting there waiting to get you. And so, you know, it's kind of the same way. So we're in a battle 24/7 wherever we are. But we will be the winners, won't we, Bill? We are the winners. Now then, next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday potluck dinner. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of our King. I mean, the most awesome event in history, that Jesus had to come and die on the cross for you and me. And then He had to die and go to hell for you and me. And then He arose again. And I mean, as we have saw in the Scriptures, how He preached the gospel to those, because He went into the depths of the earth. You know, I had one guy, I taught that on a series years ago, and some guy called me and he said, "Do you believe Jesus went to hell?" I said, "Well, the Scripture says He did." And he said, "I will never believe Jesus went to hell." I said, "Well, if He didn't pay the total price for you, then you're going to have to go there yourself to pay it." I said, "He went there for me." I said, "He said He did in His Word, and I believe Him. He descended into the lowest depths of hell, which is the abyss, or the bottomless pit. He went there." And, you know, and of course, there's something all of you probably know, that before the coming of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, as Luke 16 clearly talks about, there's two places that the people used to go. But until Jesus come and ascended back to the third heaven, everybody descended into the lower part of the earth. I mean, there was one down there called Abraham's bosom, you know, which was air-conditioned, it was green, you know, and there was a big lake, you could see it. And the Scripture talks about this, you know. So you could see it, and it was a place of air-conditioned comfort. But all the other cavities down there, you know, Sheol and Gehenna and the lake of fire and the abyss and the bottomless pit, all this kind of stuff, it's all down there too, and that's where people still go today that do not make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. They go to that awful place, and they're going to be there till the end of the age. And then they're going to be resurrected out of that terrible place, and they're going to be judged, you know, at the great white throne. And then they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. I mean, some people say, you know, God would never do that to a human being. Well, yeah, yeah. He will let us go there. He has paid the price. What, honey? Oh, yeah, we had a... This is kind of an awesome story. But the last healing school, we had a man from Romania that was here. And he said, I think he sat and talked to Scott and Dave, I believe it was. He talked to me for a while, but he talked to them a long time while I was praying for other people. And some of the stories he told them was mind-boggling. One of the stories, I'm just going to tell you one of them that they told me. He said, first of all, he said, Thurman is the first and only man I have ever seen in the United States of America that preaches the Word of God just like it's written and believes it just like it's written. I'm sure there is others, but he said, he's the only one I've ever seen. And especially, he's the only one I've ever seen that the first thing he asks you when you're sick is, what is your sin? What is your sin? Because you have one. If you don't, according to God's Word, you're not sick unless you have a sin. And so that's what the Scripture says. Now, I can prove that to you, as I've done it many times, but a lot of people don't want to hear this. But I've also taught that, especially after Pastor Daniel's death in Africa, that when you die, if you die with unforgiveness in your heart, although you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. You're going to go to hell. And there's some people really said I was crazy over that too. But Pastor Daniel has been, Ty and them have been down there three times, and every time they go talk to Pastor Daniel. And Pastor Daniel reiterates to them every time that as a pastor of a church, because he got into unforgiveness with his wife, he was killed in a car wreck, and the angel come and got him and took him to heaven and showed him where he was going to go until this morning when he got into unforgiveness with his wife. Now he had opened the door to the devil to kill him in a car wreck. Now he was going to spend eternity in hell. And Pastor Daniel was in hell for 3 days until his wife actually would not let them bury him and called him back from the dead. Pastor Daniel is alive and well today, but he has been dead for 3 days. And we have that story back there. And Raised from the Dead. If you want to see the story, we have his DVD back there, Raised from the Dead. And so anyway, I have taught that you don't want to die with an unforgiveness in your heart. You won't, because Jesus clearly said many times, if you have unforgiveness in your heart and you do not forgive everybody from your heart, I will neither will I, God, forgive you of your sins. And that's written. So I just thought to myself, okay, Lord, if you don't forgive us, I don't believe there's going to be anybody in heaven that's not forgiven. So if we don't forgive, you're not going to forgive us, so we're going to spend eternity in hell. And now we've realized that's what makes so many people sick on earth. God's trying to get your attention. And this man told us, he said, there was a funeral that was taking place of a woman that was a lovely Christian woman, middle-aged woman, whatever, but she was a really great Christian, everybody thought. And she died. And they were having the funeral. And how many times have you ever been to a church and a pastor, even if Brother John that died never went to church in his life and mean and beat his wife and everything else, how many of you ever heard a pastor say, well, the guy's in hell today? You ever heard anybody say that? No. Oh, he's in a better place. No, you know, that's not true. He's not in a better place. If he was not a Christian, he's in hell. But anyway, this woman was supposedly a lovely woman, a woman that loved God with all her heart. So the preacher was preaching her funeral, and he said, at least Sister so-and-so, we know she's in heaven with the Lord in a better place. And the woman sat up in the casket and looked out and said, he's not telling the truth because I did not forgive my sister on earth. I have been in hell since I died. And she fell back down in the casket. You know, that ought to open somebody's eyes. You know, how would you like to be in a funeral like that? You reckon that ought to get somebody's attention? When Jesus said, if you do not forgive everybody from your heart, neither will I forgive you. If he had ever preached that, somebody said, oh my goodness, I've got unforgiveness towards so-and-so. What if that had been me? Or they're going to say, I didn't see that. That didn't happen. You know, there will be people that will go away and say, I thought I saw that. I thought I saw that woman raise up and look out and tell us, he's not telling you the truth. I did not forgive my sister on earth, so I have been in hell ever since I died. And then fall back down in the casket. Or if they did see it, they would certainly never tell nobody else because they know everybody else would know you were a complete idiot. But what can God do? He can do anything. That's right. Don't put him in a box. Can he take a donkey and have a donkey speak to a man, a prophet? Yeah. I mean, somebody said, no, that can't happen. But you know, if you read the Word of God, that did happen, didn't it? God did speak through that donkey to that man and told him, you need to straighten your act up. You know? And so people say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But it does happen all the time. So we're going to celebrate this next Sunday a potluck dinner. So you know, if you want to bring something, we would appreciate it. We'd love to have you come after the service is over. we're going to all get here together and we're going to eat and drink and have a good time and celebrate the resurrection of our King. Because if our King had to come and did what he did, we'd all be headed for that bad place, wouldn't we? Woo! But because he did what he did, we can walk in love. We can walk in forgiveness. We can walk in health. We can walk in power with our King. We can walk in blessings with our King. He promised it, and I love it. Don't you? Amen. Don't you love serving the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that he's an awesome God and that if you'll do that? So anyway, we're going to have this next Sunday afternoon right after the service. So praise the Lord. Okay, let's come to the Father. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that last week you showed us all about these wonderful gifts that is ours. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for those gifts. And Lord, I thank you for opening our understanding and our hearts to the Word of God so we'll be able to see and hear and understand and receive these wonderful gifts. And then we'll walk in this ultimate way that you promised, and that's love. So Lord, thank you for your Word. Now bless us as we read and study today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, to start off with, I want to go back and just use probably the NLT. I want to recap just a little in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 31. I want to start there. And let me ask a question. Has anybody here today, did you seek God this week for any of the... Well, first of all, how many gifts are there? Nine. There's nine gifts of the Spirit that he lists there. Is there anybody here that asked God this whole week, did you ask the Lord in prayer to bless you with at least one of those gifts? You did, huh? Oh, you wanted them all. Okay, there's some more over here. There's some. Okay, now, that's how you get these things. You get these gifts by petitioning the King. In other words, he's a faith God, isn't he, Betty? He's a faith God. If you don't ask him for these things, you won't get them. You know, he's not just going to pour them out on you without you diligently getting in there and saying, Lord, Lord, I want these gifts. Well, let's think about these gifts. Let's start off, and I'm just going to list these a little bit right quick. First of all, there's a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. That's a wonderful gift. Now then, in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, actually start with verse 5. Let's put that scripture, James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 and 7, on the board up here for you to see. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, does any of us lack wisdom or do you have it all? Would you like to have a little wisdom? Yes. I ask that fresh every day because I know I need it every day. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, isn't that a great promise? And here's what we do. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom today to do what I need to do, Lord. Now, if it be your will, Lord, thank you for giving it to me. No, that's not the way you pray, is it? No, he said, ask for wisdom and then believe it's done. Is that what he said? Because look what his answer is in verse 6. But let him ask in faith. How much wavering?
No.
You mean I can't even waver a little? You know, so when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need wisdom today. Lord, thank you. It's mine. I got enough wisdom to do everything I want to do today in the name of Jesus. Is that the way it should be done?
Yes.
Yes. And the King said, "Ooh, look at my little daughter down there with that kind of faith." He said, let me just pour out this blessing of wisdom upon her. And boy, isn't that fun when he does that. Because we can just go do things we couldn't do before. But any man lacks wisdom. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Well, let's see what verse 7 says. For let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. So if you don't ask in faith, now this is a spiritual reality throughout the whole Word of God. When you ask for healing or whatever it is, if you ask, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because God says, if you don't come to me in faith, you can't please me without faith. Boy, how many years was I in church, in a denominational church, and if I ever did pray for anybody, I prayed, but I didn't really pray in faith. Or how many times did we pray and say, now, oh God, if it be your will. I remember one night I was over here at the Baptist Church in Justin, back when I was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, a long time before I had my own ministry. But there was that, I went to Wednesday night service. We called that prayer service at the Baptist Church, a Wednesday night prayer service. Well, that night we were there, the pastor said, you know, there was a man by the name of Darrell that was one of our deacons, and he had an attack of kidney stones today, and they took him to the doctor, and they checked him, and he's got these terrible kidney stones, but they couldn't do anything except just send him home, and he's at home right now in excruciating pain, so I want us to pray for him. I said, let me pray. So I stood up. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in Matthew 18:19, that if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask you for, it shall be done for us by our Father which is in heaven. So Father, in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18:19, I know somebody in here is going to agree with me. I'm going to believe they are. And we're going to see you do a great and mighty work on Brother Darrell. And you're going to dissolve that kidney stone. And it's going to come out of him. And he ain't going to have no more pain and no more problem with the kidney stone in the name of Jesus. Now, Matthew 18:19 says, I can ask for what?
Anything.
You know, so I ask. Now then I'm sitting there saying, okay, Lord, praise you and thank you for that person that's going to agree with me in prayer. Everybody in the room, there were about 20 of us there that night, everybody there prayed. Every single one of them prayed about something. Not one single one of them agreed with me. We're down to the last man. I thought, Lord, my faith is beginning to waver here. I thought, surely the first one that prayed would agree with me. But when the first one didn't, I thought, well, surely the second one will. But now everybody there's prayed. We're down to the last one. And I'm telling you, God had put me to the test. I'm beginning to sweat. Lord, I got to have somebody agree. This prayer ain't going to work. I mean, I'm using Matthew 18:19. It says, if two of us agree. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Two of us agree. The last man that prayed, when he stood up, he said, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be in agreement with Thurman's prayer. I said, oh, God, thank you, Lord. We got it. Woo! I was so happy. I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so he prayed, and after it was over, I said, oh, praise God. So I come home. And my wife, Betty, at the time, she stayed up there to do something with the church, with the kitchen or whatever she was involved in. I came home, and I got home, and his wife, Darrell's wife, called and said, is Betty home yet? I said, no, she's still up at the church. And I said, by the way, how's Darrell doing? She said, oh, he's here in excruciating pain. I said, but he's going to get healed tonight. She said, what do you mean? I said, because we prayed. I said, we agreed in prayer. I said, he's going to pass that stone tonight. I guarantee it because it's written in God's Word. She said, well, Thurman, you don't know that for sure. I said, yes, I do. That's what I prayed for. And a man there agreed with me. I guarantee it. God's Word is true, and he's going to pass that stone tonight with no pain in the name of Jesus. Now, how many of us are willing to be that bold with God's Word? Some of us. That's right. Some of us are. And so she said, well, okay, she said, I'm going to tell Darrell what you said. I said, well, just about 10 minutes later, the phone rang again, and it was Darrell's wife. And she said, Thurman, I told Darrell what you said, and he said, well, if they prayed and Thurman was that bold, I'm going to go in the bathroom and take that little strainer they give me, and I'm going to let that thing pass in the name of Jesus. He went in, and she said, that thing came out without no pain or nothing, and he's in there screaming, thank you, Thurman, thank you, Thurman. I said, I could hear him on. I said, Darrell, don't thank me. I said, you thank Jesus. He's the one that did that for you. And so she was awestruck that it really happened. Now then, some of you say, well, how can you be so sure it's going to happen just because you prayed? God said, if I need wisdom, I come and ask him for wisdom. But when I ask it, I got to ask believing. What am I going to say then? Oh, Cindy, I sure hope his stone passes. And we prayed. I'm not sure what God's going to do, but maybe he will do it. That's no faith in that. And if you want to see God do absolutely nothing in your life, just use those kind of words. And you won't see him do nothing. If you want to see him do something, you make sure that you're standing on his word. You've got all your sins repented of. You know you're an obedient son or daughter, and you're walking in obedience to his word. And I guarantee he'll do what you ask for. He promised it, but you got to believe it. You got to believe it. And if you believe it, then he'll do it. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, who are we to ask? God. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Well, do all of us lack wisdom? Oh, yeah, every one of us. I need wisdom every day to get things done in my life. So the Lord says, ask and it shall be done. Now, let's go back, and I'm going to hit the word of wisdom there. Now let's hear about one of the others was that we talked about last week in 1 Corinthians 12, was a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. You know, you may be needing something, some information about something, and all of a sudden, if you're praying, God will just give you a word of knowledge. Now then, a word of knowledge. Let me tell you something just happened recently in this church about a word of knowledge that changed a lot of people's life. And the little girl, I'll tell you quickly the story because some of you have heard it, but some of you haven't seen the pictures of little Jenna out there in the hallway. But there's a little set of pictures out there of a little girl, and when you walk out the main door right there, it's right on the wall, and when you look at the wall there, you will see a little girl that has been afflicted with a terrible disease for 8 years. I mean, she was afflicted. She's got sores all over her body. In fact, I might say, Richard, you mind if I tell the story? It's okay? Okay, Richard, he has a friend or someone he knows that has this same disease, and he's heard the story, so he wanted to know, Thurman, can I make some of those pictures and show them to my friend? I said, sure. So he takes those pictures down to Walmart, I believe it was Walmart, and he had some pictures blowed up so he could show up to his friend, and when a couple hours later, when they called him and said the pictures are ready, when you got there, who was waiting for you?
Three police officers.
They thought he had been abusing this little girl. She is so beat up, they thought he had abused this little girl. You know, that's how bad she looks. Well, when you see the pictures, you'll understand. I mean, she looks like she's been abused, hadn't she? And she had been abused. The devil had been turned loose on this little girl. Now then, we need a word of knowledge to know what caused this. And this little girl had been sick and afflicted for 8 years. And of course, whenever the mother called me back in actually 2007 when she called me the first time, I believe it was March 2007, she wanted me to pray for this little girl. She was 6.5 years old at that time. And I said, well, we got to find the sin. She said, no, Pastor, I just know with your faith, I heard you raise your granddaughter from the dead. And so I know if you pray for our daughter, she'll be healed. I said, no, honey, it don't work like that. I said, if your daughter is sick, there's a sin issue somewhere that made her sick. I said, now, do you have other children? Yes. I said, are they sick? No. I said, okay, this one's sick. So somewhere between your last child and this child, you or your husband, one, did something that God doesn't like. So we need a word of knowledge what it is. Well, I didn't think about the word of knowledge right then. So we deal with them for months and months, and I send them all kinds of free CDs and DVDs, and they try their best to figure out what their sin is, and they're repenting. They listen to CDs and DVDs, and as they listen to them, they find things that are sin. You know, a lot of people don't know what sin is. You know, the thing about it is, how many of you have ever seen something happen to somebody that was kind of your enemy, and you think, boy, I'm glad they got what they deserved? Have you ever said that? Now, be faithful, be truthful. Have we all done that? Sure we have. Well, I'm glad if there's anybody that deserved that, it was them or her or him. I'm glad they got what they deserve. Lord said in his word, anybody that gloats over somebody else's misfortune, you will not go unpunished. You know, so most people don't know that because they've never really read the scripture in detail. So we get punished because we don't understand what God's word says. We need to study the Word so we'll learn what sin is. You know, it's so easy to fall into sin and not even know you're in sin. Well, we dealt with them for months and months, and we tried and tried to find out what their sin was, and we go through this now for a year and a half. After about 6 months, they first thought, we got it. All sins repented of, known and unknown. They've covered all bases. And so we pray the prayer of faith, and I tell them, call us with your praise report. And they called back in a couple of months and said, she's worse. She's not better. She's worse. I said, well, we haven't found the sin yet. I said, we've got to find the sin. So nearly a year and a half goes along, and then I finally tell the mother, I said, you know, you're going to have to go to God to find out what the sin is. I said, obviously, he and he alone knows what the sin is. So that's made your little girl sick. So I said, see, the scripture says that whenever a child comes along into the world, the sins of the parents will be placed upon the child to the fourth generation unless the child is born out of wedlock. Then if the child's born out of wedlock, the child will be cursed for 10 generations. 10. That's clearly written in Deuteronomy 23:2. But anyway, most people don't know these things. So they just live and they have children and they do like this couple was married and everything and have had children. They're going to church. They're in church every Sunday. So they're not walking any kind of blatant sin that they know of. They're really a good Christian couple, but they got a daughter that's sick. So after we can't get her healed, I tell them we got to find the sin. So I want you and your husband, Sally and Richard, I want y'all to really get on your face before God and ask him, what did we do that didn't please you that brought this sickness upon our daughter? Well, it wasn't but just a few days, few weeks, whatever, that they're praying that the Lord, one morning Sally sat up on the side of the bed when she got up and she heard a word of knowledge from the Lord. The words were lying and deception. When she called me, she said, Thurman, this morning when I woke up, I heard two words, lying and deception. See, those were words of knowledge by the Spirit. I said, well, Sally, do you know what that means? She said, yes, I do. She said, I lied to my husband. Said, actually, I went to my husband when I was 39 and he was 43 and I wanted to have one more baby. And my husband says, no, no more children at my age. He said, if we were to try to get pregnant, it took us a year or two to get pregnant. And she said, he said, I might be in my 60s when I got a teenager in high school. So he said, no more children. Now then, the Word of God clearly says, wives, you are to submit to your husbands in everything. You know that? That's what it says. So what do you think God meant when he said that? What do you think God meant when he said, wives, you're to submit to your husband in everything? Does that mean some things? A few things? Or only the things you like? Or does it mean all things? Ooh, it means what it says, all things. Well, she didn't submit to her husband. She told him, okay, honey, I will do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant. But she lied. She got off her pill. She did everything she could to get pregnant. And then when she got pregnant, she said, oh, honey, look, after all, I'm pregnant. It must be God's will for us to have another baby after all. No, she was operating in lying and deception. So the Lord told her she'd been lying and deceiving her husband. So when she told me that, I said, oh, okay, so that's what it is then. I said, have you asked your husband to forgive you? She said, I have. I said, did he? She said, yes. Said, he loves our little girl. He didn't want another little girl, but now another child. But now we have this beautiful little 8-year-old girl. He sure doesn't want her sick. And so I said, well, did you ask God to forgive you? She said, I did. Now, when you ask God to forgive you, does he forgive you? Yes, isn't he awesome? 1 John 1:9 clearly says, if you confess your sin, I am righteous and just to forgive your sin and to restore you to fellowship. It's wonderful to have a God that forgives sin. And so, anyway, she did. And then I said, now then, we can pray the prayer of faith for you. And she said, Pastor, I don't want to just pray for healing for my daughter. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, I do not want my little girl to go through life with all these old, terrible scars. Said she has scars all over her body, all over her face. I do not want her to go through life because of my sin. Well, now, that's a good mother. You know that? She had no idea her sin. She wanted this little girl, but she had no idea her sin was going to bring the little girl into the world sick. So we had to get a word of knowledge from God. And the Holy Spirit gave her the words that we needed. And when she repented of those sins, and then she said, I want to ask the Lord to give my baby a brand new coat of skin. Now, how many of you believe God can put a brand new coat of skin on a little girl? Hey, he certainly can. And so we prayed the prayer of faith one more time, only this is the kind of prayer we ask. Father, in the name of Jesus, now that Sally has repented of all of her sins and she's been forgiven by you and her husband, you said in your word in John 14:13-14, we could ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what? Anything. So we want a brand new coat of skin with absolutely no scars on little Jenna. And we praise you and thank you for doing it for little Jenna. Thank you, Father. It's done in Jesus' name. In less than 2 weeks, you look at the pictures to the left of the ones where she's sick and you'll find out there's a little girl there that does not have a mark or a scar on her little body. Not one. God is good. Now then, did that little girl have to be sick all those years? No, she did not have to be. I mean, if she had, here's what she should have known. With the gifts of the Spirit, she should have known what we teach here, that from God's Word, she could have gone to the throne of grace, which is Hebrews 4:16, and she should have went and bowed down before her God and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I would love to have another little child, and maybe a little girl. You know, that sounds good for a mother, but she might have wanted a boy, I don't know. But she could have asked for whatever she wanted to, and Lord, my husband, he's not there. He does not want another child. But Father, I would like to have one so we could use it for your glory. So Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please soften my husband's heart and make him more like Jesus? Now, does that sound like a good way to pray?
Yes.
Lord, will you please soften my husband's heart and make him more like Jesus? How many women do you know that when their husband don't do what they like, they go get on their face before God and pray for their husband? No, because there's only a few. There's only a few, those of you that have learned the truth. I mean, it's too easy for a woman to get right in her husband's face and say, well, if you was any kind of man, you'd let me have that baby. Is that the way women do us?
That's about right.
That's about right. Yeah, I mean, they'll read you the riot act. You know, I mean, they don't know how to submit to their husbands, you know, in love. But I'll have to say, when God told the husband to love the wife like Christ loved the church, ain't many of them know how to do that either. You know that? So we're kind of equally yoked, I think, out there. None of us are doing exactly what God told us, but this walking in love. But anyway, if she had went to him and changed him like that, I'm sure that in a few days of praying like that, he'd have come and said, honey, I've been thinking it over. You know, and I believe maybe we should try to have one more baby. You know, you really do want one, and it might be wonderful to have another little child in the house running around. Now, who is it can move on a man's heart and change it like that? Only the King. And then they could have had a little girl, and she wouldn't have been sick all those years, right? But now, see, Dave up there, when Dave got... See, that little girl, Jenna, she was only sick 8 years. Dave didn't know about these things either, and he was sick 40 years. Dave had the same thing Jenna had, and he looked just like that. And that story a while ago, he was saying, you know, that he heard three people say, it doesn't appear to be working. I can remember the day after 1 year of praying over Dave, when Dave walked up to me with a pair of flip-flops on, with loose clothes on, a loose shirt. He had sores running all over his body. He looked awful. And he walked up to me like a zombie. And he said, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. It didn't appear to be, did it? Of course, that's when I jumped on him and said, Dave, repent. It's not God that's not working. It's you and me that's got the problem. I said, now we need to repent. I said, tell the Lord that you're sorry, that you know it's working. And that's when he later told me, he said, Thurman, it's a good thing you didn't go to seminary. Because he said, you would never have passed your pastoral care class in college. See, Dave, he almost got his master's, almost. The last semester on his master's, he was in ORU, and he quit because they wouldn't let him use the Word of God as a textbook. For the last semester, you had to use Dr. So-and-so's book. And Dave said, I don't care what Dr. So-and-so thinks about God's Word. I want to know what Jesus said about the Word. And they said, well, you can't use the book. You have to use Dr. So-and-so's book about the book. And they said, well, then I'm quitting. And so he did. He left. And so he's never been back to ORU. He just lacked a little bit getting his master's degree. But he's got better than a master's degree.
Amen.
He's got the Word of God, and he's hiding it in his heart every day. But Dave was sick 40 years with the same thing. And when we prayed, I automatically knew in my heart it was sin. We had to break the curses and get over it and pray for him and stand on God's Word. And, of course, it took 20 months for Dave to get healed. 20 months. But today, Dave is completely healed. And ain't nobody happier about that than him. You know, I guarantee. But just like Jenna. Jenna's happy, too. So, words of knowledge are wonderful things from God, aren't they?
Amen.
I mean, they're wonderful things. Now, if you need a word from knowledge, if you're sick and afflicted, and you've got every sin you've known about, repented of, and you're not getting better, what should you do? Go to God and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a word of knowledge. Lord, this is one of the gifts of the Spirit you promised that are there, and so I need a word to find out what I've done that does not please you, that's bringing my sickness and disease upon me so I can get well. Especially when he died on the cross. Actually, before he died on the cross, he paid the price for your sickness. Do you know that? You know, I think about this Matthew 8:17, and I want us to go there in the King James, and I want you to see Matthew 8:17, and tell me what you think this means. Just look at this scripture. Matthew 8:17. Look at what he says. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, if Jesus bore my sickness, do you think he wants you to be sick?
No.
No, he does not. If he took your infirmities or your sins, if he took away your sins and he bore your disease or your sickness, the king, when he died on that cross and rose again, he did not want his body, which is us, to be sick. He wanted us to walk in divine health. But he also told us not to sin. Now, how many people in church have you ever met that even got an idea that it's possible to go through today with no sin? I mean, we don't even believe that's possible, hardly, do we? No. I mean, you know, we're just unworthy sinners saved by grace, so if I sin all day, every day, that's just the way it is. Well, if you want to be sick and die early, just go ahead and keep doing that and thinking like that, because that's what it'll do to you. But if you get to where you believe the promises of God, you can get to be 72 years old like I am and still able to work like a 40-year-old. And ain't had a sick day in 30 years. I love it, don't you? I love being strong. I love doing the things I do and being able to do what I do. Because guess who it is that keeps me healthy? Jesus, absolutely. I call on His Word all the time. Now then, on knowledge, or word of knowledge, and then discerning of spirits. That's one of the gifts. Discerning of spirits. If I've ever seen anybody that has that, it's my wife Cheryl. I mean, she has that. I mean, there's times she will just see a spirit. You know, she'll say, watch him, watch him, watch him. He has the spirit of lust. I mean, she just knows it. You know, it's amazing how she can just look at somebody and she'll whisper in my ear, they have this spirit. Now, where do you think that gift comes from? God. That's exactly right, from God. And virtually, she's almost never wrong. When she tells me something, I said, well, I didn't see that at all. She said, you just watch. And it won't be long. I'll find out. She was 100% right. That person has that. And where does this gift of discerning from spirits come from? From the Lord. This is one of the gifts that you can pray for and ask God to give you these spirits and these gifts, and He will give them to you. Now then, I call these the three powerhouse gifts. Number one is faith. The gift of faith. Do you love the gift of faith?
Yes.
Oh, I love that gift. I love it. Because when you got the gift of faith, really, what can you do? Move mountains?
Yes,
you can move a mountain if you got the gift of faith. The Word of God said so. Then the gift of healing. How would you like to have that? Oh, don't you love that gift? I mean, when just think, you know, I wish He would just let me have that gift and it didn't make any difference who I touched in the name of Jesus. They all got healed every time. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Amen.
It would be awesome. But He turns that gift on. You may walk up to one person and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. You walk to this and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. This one got healed and this one didn't get nothing. What happened? Oh, she was ready. She wasn't ready. The Lord says, now then, okay, Lord, I need a word of knowledge. What's the problem here? And the Lord would say, well, the first one, she's been seeking me, and she's loving me, and all I needed was somebody to do something in faith. But this one, of course, I don't even know you, ma'am, really, so don't take this personally at all. But this one, she has unforgiveness toward a friend. You know, she's not walking in love. She just came to a healing school to get healed. She's not ready. So guess who the healer is? Jesus. If you were ready to, guess what? You would have got healed just like she did. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. But who is it that knows our hearts? The Lord. That's right. The Lord knows our hearts. That's why when you pray for somebody, it happens if you pray in faith. Now, if you have the gift of faith and the gift of healing, boy, you're in good shape. And then the next one, I really love this one. the gift of miracles. You know, most of the church today don't believe the gift of miracles work. The gift of miracles. I mean, the gift of miracles. I really consider little Jenna's healing a miracle, don't you? When's the last time you've seen in fact, let me ask you this question. When's the last time you went to church and you saw or you heard somebody ask what John 9, 1 and 2 says? Now, I want to put this on the board for you to see, because some of you might think that Thurman's crazy. But no, I'm not crazy. I want to show you what John 9, 1 and 2 says and what the disciples asked the question before the Lord was going to heal this man. And it says, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? When's the last time you walked into church and somebody said, oh, Brother Bill, how you doing this morning? And he says, oh, Sherman, I feel awful today. You know, I just ain't got no strength. I'm sure sick. I've been throwing up all night. I said, well, who sinned? You or your wife that you're sick? When's the last time you heard that, Bill?
Oh, well, I don't want to talk about that.
But you see, why did the disciples ask that question? Because they understood the law. They understood. In fact, let me go to Deuteronomy 28:27, and let me show you something that where one of the places I learned about Jenna, I want you to see where I learned this. Deuteronomy 28:27. Look at this. The Lord, in other words, he says in verse 15 and on, if you do not obey me, I will afflict you and your children with all of these things. And he says there, when you come to verse 27, this is one of the ones. And it says, the Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. Now that said, I know that said the devil will afflict you. Is that what he said?
No.
What did he say? Who's going to afflict you?
The Lord.
Somebody says, the Lord would never do that. The Lord would never put sickness like that on a little girl. But did he say he would? Who will do it?
The Lord.
The Lord. So you know, you don't have to worry about making the devil happy. You only need to make one happy. You know who that is? The Lord Jesus Christ. You make the king happy, you obey his word, and I guarantee he's big enough to take care of you and all your children and your family, isn't he, Scott?
Yes, he is.
He is more than able. What, honey? Oh, the next verse? Okay, Cheryl says, show the next verse, verse 28. Let's go on down to the next verse, verse 28. The Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now see, they knew that. That's why they said, why is this man born blind? Because of his sin or his parents' sin. But we don't even talk about that no more, do we? No. If you're sick, it couldn't possibly be a sin. But you know, if it couldn't be a sin, if sin is not the cause of our sickness, then why did he write scriptures like Exodus 15, 25, and 26 in the Word? Put Exodus 15, 25, and 26 up here, and let's see what that says. Exodus 15, 25, and 26. It says there, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them or proved them in verse 26. And he says in verse 26, and he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Now then, diligently hearken to the voice of God. What do we have today that is the voice of God? The Word of God. So we have the whole Bible. We are more blessed than any people in history that we have the Old and the New Testament to read. And we have it here, and the Lord says, if we will hearken to the voice of the Lord, their God, and we'll do that which is right in His sight. In other words, if He tells you something to do something, don't believe anything. If God tells you, in fact, I had a man one time that came to me. He was a missionary, and his wife had died. And he come back to the States from Africa, and he met this woman, and he wanted to marry this woman. She was married to another man. She was in the process of getting a divorce because he was so mean. Well, he met her, And as he met her and started going with her, they fell in love with each other because both of them are good Christian people. Her husband was not a Christian, and he was mean to her, and so that's why she was leaving him. But anyway, they fell in love, and of course, young people, when I say young, you know, they was 30, I guess, or something like that, 35, somewhere in that neighborhood. When young people like that fall in love with each other, what really is involved? A lust, a spirit of lust. Sure, yeah, absolutely. That, they want to go to bed together. That's a thing. You know, that's just the way God made us. And so, anyway, they went to his pastor over here in the States and said, you know, she's going through a divorce, but it's going to take a few months for it to be final. And we love each other, and as soon as the divorce is final, we're going to get married. So would it be okay if we were to move in together as man and wife and just go ahead and live together until we get married? And many of you out there shaking your head, no, 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 because you know what God's Word says about sin, right? And the pastor said, well, if you're going to get married anyway, it'll be okay. Now, let me tell you, that was some wrong words. So they moved in together, and they lived together for 6 months and enjoyed a normal sexual relationship for 6 months. And then they got married, and then they lived together another 6 months with a normal sexual relationship, and then he became impotent. And for 25 years, they have not had a sexual relationship. 25, been married 25 years and 6 months, and when I met them, they come up to talk to me about this and said, we have not been able to have sex for 25 years. What can we do? I said, what kind of sin did you get into? And they told me the story. I said, well, that's it. I said, what you thought you couldn't live without, God showed you can live without it for 25 years. So I said, it was your sin that brought this upon you. I said, but you know, we serve a merciful, mighty God. He's a forgiving God. I said, I want you two to both get on your face right now before God and tell him how sorry you are that you did what you did and you sinned and you broke his rules. And I said, then I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And I guarantee you God's going to restore you because he says whatever I ask him in the name of Jesus, he will do. So I said, Father, after they repented, I said, Father, now restore them, make them both normal where they can enjoy a sexual relationship in the name of Jesus. I said, go and come and tell me your praise report. Two or three Sundays later, the man came back to church that day and he said, Pastor, I wished I'd have met you 25 years ago. I'd have never sinned. But he said, I'm telling you that this morning, he said, I woke up this morning for the first time in 25 years and I was able to have sex with my wife for 25 years. I told him, I said, yeah, if you'd have met me 25 years ago and I'd have given you the right counsel, if I had that knowledge then, which I might not have had, but I said, if you'd have obeyed God, I said, if you'd have just got in the Word yourself and you'd have saw where God told you not to do that, then you could have said, well, I don't care what that pastor told me. What he told me doesn't agree with God's Word. So let him be a liar and let God's Word be true. I'm going to keep myself clean and pure until I get married to this girl. And then they would have had a normal relationship for all those years and it would have been okay. God would have never taken it away from him. But he did. But this says right here, if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So if you obey God under the old covenant, how many diseases is he going to take away from you? All.
I notice it says voice and ear. Yeah. So that means that we're supposed to hear it.
Amen.
Through our ear, not just reading.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's the same way under the new covenant. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith doesn't come by reading God's Word. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. Why do you think God told you to go to church? Just come down here so you can hear some preacher talk all day? Did he plan for you to get anything from coming down here? Yes, he did. He planned for you to hear his words. He planned for the man that's standing here that he called to be one of his evangelists, pastors, teachers, whatever you want to call us. He planned for you to listen and hear his words so that you would obey his words. He wants you to obey. Then he wants you to hear what faith is so you can learn how to walk in faith, so you can learn that you are a son or daughter of God. And when you pray, nothing is impossible with you. That's what he wants you to hear. He does not want you to be sick. Let's go to the next one there. And Exodus 23:25, and let's see what he says there. We'll just hit three of these right quick. And he said, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of you. Now, do you like that? If God promises to take sickness away from the midst of us, if we obey Him, we can take sickness out of our vocabulary, right?
Amen.
You don't have to never be sick again. I don't know how you look at that any other way. And in Deuteronomy 7:15, let's just hit three of these. Look at this. And the Lord will take away from the sickness. Look at what He says in Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. How much?
All.
What is it we don't understand about the word all? Isn't that something? It means all. And the Lord, not the devil, the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and He will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon you, but He will lay them upon all them that hate you. Hey, that puts us in a good place, doesn't it? If we obey God, how much sickness and disease should we have? And this is under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, He bore my sickness and bore my sin and my disease for me, did He not?
Yes.
Hey, He really wanted us not to be sick under the new covenant, but He told us not to sin and stand on my promises. Well, He says very clearly in His Word, these things only work for those that find His words. We've got to go to Proverbs 4:10. Proverbs 4:10, I want you to see this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Let's look at this scripture. Proverbs 4:10, Hear, O my son or my daughter, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be few. Oh, you see how you got to watch these preachers? You don't never listen to a preacher. You listen to the Word, because he may misquote the Word. They do it all the time. But he says if you find his words and you obey them, the years of your life will be what?
Many.
So what's many? 40? 50? Oh, 80? 100? Oh, now we're getting up there about where you could go. That's about where her faith ends, right there, about 100. But your years are going to be many. Is that what he said? So that means as daughters and sons of God, we don't have to die early, do we? No. But see, if you don't know these things, you have to find these things and stand on these things and claim these promises of God. You know what it does to God when you walk up to Him and say, Oh, God, I'm sick and I've come to the Living Savior Church today to be prayed for and I sure hope it's your will to heal me. You know what you're going to get from God? Nothing. But you say, Lord, I thank you that you show up out here at the Living Savior Church. This man teaches your word. You said if I would obey you, my life would be many. And so, Lord, I'm going to stand on these promises today and I'm going to live a long, blessed life in the name of Jesus. And he says, Oh, that's the kind of girl I like to see right there. I will let my pastor pray for her and I will heal her and raise her up. Now then, let's go to Proverbs from 4:10. Let's go to verse 20 through 27. My son or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And verse 22 and 23. For they are what? They are life unto those that find them. Only to those that find them. And health to
all.
Isn't that something? His words is health to, it must be part of my flesh. You know, how many people are here, well, if God puts cancer on me and I die with cancer, it'll be for His glory. No, I hate to say this, but you're dumb. You really are. You know, I mean, God, if He puts cancer on you, you need to look for your sin. That's what you need to look for. And when you get your sin taken care of and then pray somebody pray the prayer of faith for you, you're going to get well. And I'd much rather live to be 80, 90, or 100 years old healthy than I had to live to be 40 and die with cancer, hadn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, especially with these kind of promises in the Word. Are these awesome promises? And so keep them, it says, it'd be held to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, how many people do you know that live in the world? Well, I say in the church. How many people in the church today that if they get sick, they will say, Okay, Lord, I've got to know what I did that didn't please you. Does anybody ever ask that question? Yeah. In fact, I had a man this last week. I've been teaching him the Word of God, and he's been with me a couple of times when I prayed for somebody that got miraculously healed. And so he had an airplane out at the airport out here, tied down real good, a great big one. And the other day when the winds came back, blew the front off of a hangar. And it also, down to where his airplane is, it moved, he had his airplane tied down with many different straps, and it moved that airplane 6 inches. It's a big airplane, too. Big airplane. And you know what he's, when I called him to talk to him about something, you know what the first thing he said? He said, Thurman, my airplane got moved 6 inches in that storm the other day. And my first question was, God, what have I done that doesn't please you? I also got tickled at this man the other day after he saw the guy get healed that had been comatose for 6 weeks. He told his wife, he said, if I ever get sick, he said, that man right there, he said, I want you to call him. I want him to pray for me. Is that the way it should be with all of us? We should be able to look at anybody that's a Christian and say, if I get sick, I want to repent of my sin, then I want her or him to pray for me because I know I'm going to be healed when it happens. You know, so, I mean, this is awesome what the Lord's given us here. And then this faith, healing, and miracles, these are three of the gifts. You know, if you're not praying and asking God during the week, Lord, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter, and it's, Lord, I want you to operate that gift of faith in my life this week. I mean, I want you to operate the gift of healing in my life. Lord, somebody that's repented of sins that needs somebody to lay hands on and touch them in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm available. Use me for your glory. And then you may be walking down the street and he say, you see that young lady right there? Yes, Lord. He said, go over and touch her in my name. She's got a problem. I'm going to heal her right this minute. You go over and say, you may not understand what I'm doing, but in the name of Jesus, be healed. And the woman gets healed right there. And we see those kind of things happen all the time here in this ministry. And we love it, don't we?
Yes.
We love it. And, of course, that gift of miracles, my goodness gracious, when the gift of miracles, you know, people will ask you, you ever seen a miracle? Oh, yes. I have seen some real miracles. Now, I think Jenna's a miracle. You know, but what I call a real miracle is when I pray for people like I did Dr. Young's back that time over the phone that had fell out of a tree and crushed his back. And I prayed for him over a cell phone 1,000 miles away and God gave that man a brand new back. I mean, he was laying in bed, couldn't even walk. Or then I think about Johnny Brumfield down in Manny, Louisiana, the man down there that had both legs crushed, hadn't walked in 21 months. And I preached an hour and a half or 2 hours about faith down there, and I went over and he repented his sins. I laid hands on him, and John 14:13-14, and I said, God promised us anything we ask in the name of Jesus, he will do it. I said, do you believe that? He said, sir, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that book, I believe it. Well, that's the kind of faith. God wasn't looking for that, I'm a Southern Baptist. But he was looking for that, if it's written in that book, I believe it. That's what he was waiting for. And I said, when I reached over and put my hands on Johnny Brumfield's knees, God gave that man 2 brand new legs. He hadn't walked a step in 21 months, and today he's totally running and playing. And his testimony's back there on Testimonies of Miraculous Healing. It's the first one on DVD number 1. You get to hear 30 minutes of Johnny telling his own miracle and how it happened. And when we were in the studio doing that, after right at the end, I said, Johnny, nobody's seen you stand up or walk or nothing. They don't know if you're telling the truth or not. I said, why don't you stand up? And Johnny Brumfield jumped up and starts doing this right on, you see him? And do you know, the Holy Ghost hit that studio out there that day and everybody in that place, including me, started crying. I mean, God is awesome. I mean, he is an awesome God, what he can do. And now then, we go down to the last three gifts and the gifts of prophecy. One of the gifts is prophecy. In other words, if you're not praying for prophecy, you won't ever get it. I mean, I remember one time I was in a Baptist church and the preacher preached on 1 Corinthians 14. I mean, when he preached, and that's what it's all about, is the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate. But as he preached that 1 Corinthians 14, I'll never forget the lady and her husband that was sitting in front of me. He was a deacon at the Baptist church. They were an older couple. You know, back in those days, I was probably 55 and they were 75. So they were kind of like I am now, you know, 20 years ago. And when we stood up, she turned around and looked at me and she said, Thurman, what did he preach on that for? I said, because it's in the Bible. She said, I ain't never heard a message about those spirits, those gifts, and especially that tongues. She said, I don't believe in that stuff. I thought, well, that's why it don't work for you. Because you don't believe in it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people don't believe. You know that? And unfortunately, instead of believing our God, we believe our enemy. So much of the time, because God told us what we could do. But the gift of prophecy, you know, prophecy. I mean, it's an awesome gift. Every one of these gifts that I'm telling you about have operated in my life at some time or another. Some of them much more than others. But some of them, wow. And then after prophecy, the next one's a gift of tongues. Well, in the Baptist church, I mean, I remember one day when I was teaching in a Baptist, in a Bible study class, one of the ladies there, I loved this little girl and her husband. He was about my age at the time. We were 40 years old, 35, somewhere a long time ago. And I was teaching a Sunday school class, and we come across something about tongues. And she asked me a question. She said, I got to ask you a question right here, Thurman. You're the teacher. Do you believe in tongues? I said, sure. It's written in the book. She said, do you speak in tongues? I said, no. She said, you don't speak in tongues? Well, why do you believe it? I said, because it's written in the book. I said, some of these other gifts here. I said, it says here there's a gift of miracles too, but I ain't never seen a miracle. So I said, it's written in the book. But I said, no. In fact, at the time, 35 years old, if you'd asked me, do you believe in all these, I'd have said yes. But if you'd asked me, have you ever seen one of them work? No, not one single one of them. 9 gifts of the Spirit, and I'm a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, and I have never walked in this power with God, never in my life at that time. Well, why do you believe tongues is real? Thurman, are you really sure you believe in tongues? Her name was Margie. I said, Margie? I said, of course I believe in it. And you don't speak in tongues? I said, no. I said, I've never seen any of these miracles, these gifts operate in my life, but they're in the book, so I believe God could give me one of them if he wanted to. Are you sure you believe in tongues? I said, well, yes, I believe in it. So, okay. So we walk out of the class after it's over. She comes over, and she kind of puts her arm in under mine, pulls herself up close, and she said, you know, what would you say if I told you I speak in tongues? You knew that's what she was going to say, didn't you? I said, well, praise God, Margie. I said, how did it happen to you? She said, Thurman, now her husband is chairman of the deacons at a Baptist church. And he don't even know she speaks in tongues. She never even told him because he don't believe in these things. So anyway, she said, I was standing at the sink praying one day. And said, all of a sudden, I just felt something bubble up in me and came out of me, and it was a language I did not know what I was speaking. And she said, many times since then, if I really want to see this gift work, I can go to wash dishes, and I can be standing there praising the Lord and praying, and said, it'll happen again. Said, that's almost the only place it ever happens, is standing at the sink washing dishes. But she said, it happens right there. So she said, I had to be sure that you really believed it's a real gift for what I told you, because I didn't want you to think I'm crazy. Isn't it a shame that we think somebody in the church is crazy because they've received a gift from God that we don't have? But it's in the book. Then the last one is the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues. And there is some people that have that gift. So somebody will get up and give a word of knowledge, or word in tongues, and nobody understands. And when they get through, somebody over here will stand up and they will say what it meant. And one day there was this Baptist preacher. He was not a believer in this at all, but somehow he started getting knowledge about the gifts. And so he knew there was a little tiny church right down the street that had on Wednesday night about 10 people there. And he knew they believed in tongues, all the gifts of the Spirit. So I thought, these people don't know me in this town, so I'll just wear my regular clothes and I'll go to church at that little church. So he comes in there that night, and everybody says hi to him and everything. He introduces himself, and you know, so-and-so. He certainly doesn't introduce himself as the pastor of the Baptist church over the hill. He definitely does not do that. So he's sitting there, and he said, all of a sudden, the guy that's up there, he's trying to stumble through some scriptures with this little group of 8 or 10 people and me. And he said, all of a sudden, the young man says, you know, I don't know what's coming up. I don't know what happened to me. But the Lord just told me to speak a message in tongues. So he said, y'all just be patient with me. And so he spoke a few words in tongues. And then he stopped and said, well, I don't know what that was all about. But he said, the Lord just told me to do this. So he said, I didn't know anything to do but do it. So he said, now we'll continue. And this Baptist preacher stood up and he said, sir, that message you just spoke was for me. He said, "What do you mean, sir?" He said, "I don't even know you." He said, "I happen to be the Baptist preacher at the Baptist church over the hill. I didn't believe in tongues. I didn't believe in interpretation of tongues. So as I told the Lord tonight, Lord, I'm going to go down to that little church. They tell me they believe in these gifts down there. So I'm going to go down there and see if you do anything to show me that you're really real in these gifts." He said, "I was a missionary in Africa for 30 years, and I speak perfect Swahili." He said, "When you stood up, you spoke a perfect message in Swahili to tell me that I am real, and these gifts of tongues is real, and this is for you tonight." Now, what can God do? What He has to go through to get our attention as His children, right? Why can't we just believe it because it's in the Word? Isn't that amazing? Hey, I think we ought to get to the point where if it's written in the Word, we ought to believe it. Don't y'all agree? Okay. Now then, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 31. We'll just, "Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it." In other words, every one of us are necessary to God. So don't ever try to say, "I'm better than anybody else." No, you're not. He needs us all. Here's a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First, there's apostles. Second, there's prophets. Third, there are teachers. Then there's those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, and those who speak in unknown languages. 29 and 30. Is everyone an apostle? No, of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? No. Does everyone have the power to do miracles? No. Does everyone have the gift of healing? No, of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown languages? No. Can everyone interpret unknown languages? No. Verse 31. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. But desire the most helpful gifts. Well, that might vary between each one of us. You know, you may be in a place where God could use you better with the gift of discerning of spirits than anything else. If you saw that, or the gift of healing, or the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, or interpretation, whatever it is, wherever you see these gifts could be used by you and by God to do great things for His kingdom, then that's the area you should pursue the Lord. Lord, give me these gifts. I want these. Or you can be a pig like me and some others in here. I won't call any names. How many do we want? Oh my goodness gracious, yes, that's what I want too. I'm not going to be a little pig, I'm going to be a great big pig, because I want all nine of those gifts, don't you? I want God to use me in any way. I do not want to limit Him and say, "Lord, I want to pray for the gift of faith, and if I don't get the gift of faith, I don't want anything else." No, never. Lord, if the gift of faith is where I think You could use me the greatest, then I'll take it. But Lord, I'll take them other eight too. Is that right, Richard? We'll take every one of them, Lord. We want those gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts that God is willing to give you if you will pray and ask Him to give you those. Now, every time you ask Him to give you one of those, how should you finish the sentence?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Always, never forget when you pray for something, always put that finishing clause, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me the gift of whatever," or all nine of the gifts. Thank you, Lord. I'll take them all. I'm going to be in agreement with you. Thank you, Lord. Now then, let's go right quick to the next chapter, and we're going to study, hit just a few of these things, and then we'll have to finish that out next Sunday. It says, "If I speak in the language in heaven or on earth, but I didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal." Wow. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, and knew everything about everything, but I didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith, so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. Galatians 5:6, right quick. I'm going to show you something. One of the most important scriptures in the whole Bible. Is it Galatians or Ephesians? No, that's it. That's it. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh. So what is the most powerful thing in God's Word?
Love.
If you had the faith to move a mountain, and let's say you did that, and you didn't walk in love with people and with each other, you were always mean and selfish, what kind of rewards are you going to get when you get home? None. Not a single thing. Not a single gift. You remember the song a while ago that Cheryl and the girls sing? Or we sing? We're laying our crowns at His feet. You mean there's crowns that we get? Yeah. There's at least five. I know of five of them. I used to think, what am I going to do? What if I were to get five crowns? What if I were to do all the things He told me to do? And when I got home, He just lavished upon me all these five crowns. What am I going to do with them? Exactly what that song says. What am I going to do with those crowns? I'm going to lay them at His feet and say, Master, I was able to do what I did to obtain these crowns because of You. And if you're not walking in love, you ain't going to have a single crown. Not a single crown. Wow. Would that be heartbreaking? To go through life and maybe you're without healing the sick and maybe you're doing miracles and maybe you're walking in a place above the normal Christian. Because most Christians never seen these kinds of things. I mean, I was a Christian for many, many, many years of my life, and I didn't even know I could pray for somebody for healing. Didn't even know it was mine. I mean, and the gifts of faith and healing and miracles and words of wisdom, none of that stuff. I didn't know none of that stuff. But yet I went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. But they never preached on it. And so, of course, guess what? I was a normal person. I took my Bible on Sunday, if I was lucky. Some days I didn't even take it. But did I open it? Maybe if I was in Sunday school class and they had to give me a scripture to read, I'd open it and try to find it. And then I'd read it, but I didn't remember what I read. And then when I got home, I'd throw it up on the shelf, and guess where it stayed till next Sunday? Right there. Did I study it? No. So was I diligent about God's Word? Not at all. So guess why I didn't see Him do nothing? I didn't obey Him. But that don't happen anymore. I mean, I study the Word of God. I read. I spend hours and hours and hours. In fact, Dave up there, I believe sometimes Dave's even got me beat. I think that he spends at least 2 or 3 hours every day in God's Word. Every day. I mean, he really is in the book. But you know, I stopped up on the side of the road the other day. I was sent a email this week with a scripture in it. 1 Kings 17:26. Is that it? You don't remember? Let's go see if I'm in the right place. 1 Kings 17:25 first. 1 Kings 17:25 and 26. And let's see what this says. Read in NLT with me. 1 Kings 17:25 and 26. And let's see what that says. 1 Kings 17:25 and 26. Huh? 2 Kings? 2 Kings? Okay, 2 Kings 17:25 and 26. Okay, 2 Kings 17:25 and 26. Let's look it up and let's see what it says. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. How many people do you know that fear not God? We have no fear of God today. Even in the church, we don't fear Him. If we did, we would change the way we do business. But look what He said to do unto these people. They feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord, who? The Lord sent lions among them. We're talking about lions. I mean, these big boys. The Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. You know, now, if you'd asked that bunch back there, do you know the Lord sent in these things? They would have said, no, 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 God would never send a lion out here to kill us. Would He? We ain't never going to believe that, are we? But what does Scripture say? Let every man be a liar, and let God's word be true. Well, that's what he said. And he sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Now let's read in the NLT. I want to go to the NLT. I want you to see this in the NLT. These two scriptures. That's the King James, NLT. But since these foreign settlers did not worship the Lord when they first arrived, the Lord sent lions among them to kill some of them. So a message was sent to the king of Assyria, the people whom you have resettled in the town of Israel, they do not know how to worship the God of the land. He has sent lions among them to destroy them because they have not worshiped him correctly. In the New Testament, does he say, when you worship me, come with your hands what? If God says, worship me with your hands raised, what do you think he means? Ooh, but what if I don't want to do that? I'm afraid that I might offend somebody. You know, I don't care. I only want to make how many happy?
One,
that's right. I could care less what anybody else thinks. But if they're knowing this God, I'm telling you, we don't know this God, do we? We don't believe he will do these kind of things, do we? But does he say he will? Did he say he did? He was very clear. He said, and the Lord sent these lions to kill him. Now, there's another story in the Scripture. We won't go there. But there's another story in the Scripture where the Lord sent a man, a prophet, over to a nation. He said, now you go this way to go over there and you tell this man what I've got to say. And when you tell him what I've told you, then you take another route home. Don't you come back the same way you went. You go another route. Y'all remember that story?
Yeah.
Well, the man went over there and told him. And when he got ready to go, there's another prophet come up and said, you know, I'm a prophet also. I want you to come home and have something to eat with me. He said, no, the Lord told me I can't eat with anybody over here, and I have to go home another way. He said, but the Lord told me to tell you to come home with me. Now, if God specifically tells you to do something from his word, and somebody else, and of course I see this all the time, you know, it says in the word, you're not to be unequally yoked in your marriage. And then some guy, you know, sees some woman, and he says, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. You need to marry me. And the Lord, but are you a Christian? She said. You said, oh no, I don't know Jesus. I don't go to church. She said, I'm sorry, sir, but I cannot marry you because I'm a Christian. You say, that's okay. That's okay. God told me to marry you anyway. You were lying, see. You see what I mean? Just like the prophet was. And so if she believes you, guess who's going to suffer? She is. Guarantee she is. Because just like this prophet, he was told by God, directly by God, to go over and tell a man a message, and then don't eat or drink in that place, and then go home another way. And then when the other prophet came up and said, but the Lord told me to tell you to come home with me. He said, well, the Lord told you that? Okay, now if the Lord told him that, why didn't he tell him that?
Yeah, exactly.
You see where I'm coming from? So if God has specifically told you something to do, and somebody comes along and tries to interject their thoughts into it, you got to say, okay, Lord, then I got to know, in other words, what she should say is, okay, Lord, then you're going to have to tell me if this man's your son or not. If he's not, then you already said in your word, I ain't to touch him. And I have nothing to do with him. So, and the Lord says, no, you don't touch him because he's not one of mine. So she said, I'm sorry, sir. I can't date you. I'm sorry. It's over. If you want to go with me, you're going to have to become a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And so people just don't do this. So this prophet, he went over and ate at that man's house. And then he got up to leave to go home another way. And as he left, guess what came out of the bush? A lion. And what did it do to him? It killed him. The lion didn't eat him. That's right. You remember the story. The lion didn't eat the donkey or the man, but he killed him. And the lion lay right there beside the donkey and the man until somebody came. Now, somebody said, but that other man was a man of God. Do you think men of God will lie to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most of you women in here say, yes, I was married to one. He lied to me a lot. It is unfortunate, but it does happen, doesn't it? It does happen. Many a man and a woman that I've dealt with in my walk with God that have come to me, their husband or the woman, it could be either way, you know, I mean, it works both ways. They both said they were Christians, and then they were married a year or two or three or ten or whatever, and then all of a sudden, things don't go right. And so she says, I don't love you anymore, you know, or she'll tell me, he's not a Christian. And I said, but he goes to church every Sunday. I don't care what he says, he's not a Christian. She's looking for an excuse to get away from this guy. Who knows? But, you know, if God tells you to do something in his word, what does he mean? Exactly what he says. Would it pay good dividends for you to obey him?
Yes,
very good dividends. Now, if you obey him in everything and you repent of all sins, then if you need to be healed, he says you can come to me and ask me and I'll heal you, won't he? We see that all the time. There's a lot of little Jenna out there. You know, whenever we got that sin broken, that sin confessed, we had everybody in this ministry center. I mean, every one of us had prayed for Jenna over that year, a year and a half. I no telling how many times. No results. Because guess who the healer is? It's God. It's not us. We just pray the prayer of faith, and he does all the healing. And so if we get our sins repented, and then we come forth and pray in faith, the answer is yes every time. All you got to do is obey God. So I don't care, just like I told Dave, I don't care what you have. I don't care if you got back problems. I don't care if you got knee problems. I don't care if you got cancer. I don't care what you got. If you got something that your body's deteriorating, you have not been in the Word of God and putting God first. Every time. It's a fact. Every time. If you get rid of all your sin and you get in the Word to obey God, just like when Dave got healed 20 months, he came to me and asked me a question. Pastor, why did it take so long for me to get healed? I said, Dave, I don't know that. Only God knows that. I said, ask him. I don't know. I said, all I know is you did get healed. I said, I know it was a long struggle and we fought a long time. But I said, ask him. So he began to pray, Lord, why did it take so long for me to get healed? And he didn't like the answer. The Lord says, Dave, I don't know who you are. How would you like for God to tell you that? Lord, I go to church every Sunday. And Lord, I tithe and I walk in love and I do everything you say. He said, oh, Dave, I know all that about you. I go to church with you every Sunday. I know all about you. He said, Lord, what do you mean when you don't know me? He said, Dave, you may spend 15 minutes a week in the Word, or a day, whatever it was. You don't spend hardly any time with me, so I don't know who you are. He said, you and I have no intimacy. Now, how would it be, what if Cheryl and I only spent 15 minutes a week together? You don't think we would be very intimate, do you? 15 minutes a week? I mean, you don't want him to swish through the house for a quick snack one time a week, do you, Betty? No, you'd like to have him to sit down and talk with him once in a while or something, right? My goodness. So, you know, if you have no intimacy with your mate, then probably your mate's not going to be willing to do very much for you. And that's exactly what happened with Dave and God. God told him clearly. He said, you have no intimacy with me. He said, well, Lord, how much time do I need to spend with you? He said, you know, a tithe every day would be a good place to start. Now, what's a tithe of 24 hours? 2.5 hours. You know, so you spend two, somebody said, 2.5 hours a day in the Word? Well, Dave started spending 2.5 hours a day, and the Lord told him, he said, Dave, if you would have been spending this kind of time with me, if your healing would have been very quick. Isn't that amazing? So when I see men or women, but especially men, that get out of touch with God, you know, they get older, you know, they get past 50 and then they ain't got time to go to church no more. You know, they're old, over the hill, they think they're useless. You know, I just want to go to the lake and fish on Sunday. I ain't got time to go to church. That's for women and children, you know, but maybe my grandbabies need to be in Sunday school, but not me. I mean, I'm 50 years old or 60 years old. So I'd rather go to the lake. I don't need to go to church. And they get about 55 and they come down with cancer. Or brain tumors. You have 6 months to live. Oh, my goodness. There's no hope. Is there anybody out there that can answer? And the Lord says, I can. I have your answer. And so he leads you to us. And we tell you, you know, you got to repent. Put God first. There's a commandment that says you are to put me first. You're to love me, to worship me, to praise. Is that right, Bill?
Right.
And if you do that, he says, then I will bless you and I will heal you. And so you have no idea how many men that have come to me that needed knees replaced, cancer, all kinds of things. When they got their sins repented of and we started praying for those men, some of them it took 6 months or a year. But some of them got healed virtually instantly. But they got healed. What, honey? Oh, yes, yes, we got an awesome letter. We had a couple. Medical doctor from Springfield, Illinois. A medical doctor and his wife. They came to the healing school. She wrote us a letter. She said, I had to write you a letter of thanks to tell you what happened. She said, my husband and I both have had allergies and asthmas for 14 years. She said, my husband's had two forms of cancer, and he's had surgery on one of them. And still, they didn't get it all, and the other one's not operable. And so when he found out it was not operable, he had heard about the Living Savior Ministries, so him and his wife took off a weekend and came from Springfield, Illinois, to one of our healing schools, and they found out they had unforgiveness and all kinds of other sins that they had no idea. They both repented of all their sins, and we prayed for them, and both of them got healed. And when he got back home, he ran a check on himself. There's not a sign of cancer of no kind in his body. He was extremely happy. He found out he's got to walk in love. He's extremely happy. And his wife was healed. She was only healed for what, 14 days? 14 days. And then her asthma come back upon her. And she said, Lord, why is this? He says, because you're spending not enough time in my worship music, and you're spending too much of your worldly music. So she said, Lord, I repent. I will stop listening to worldly music and only listen to Christian music. And she said, I repented. I went and got my husband to the sermon and said, husbands can pray for their wives, so you pray for me. Said, my husband prayed for me, and I was instantly healed. She said, it was so wonderful and so quick that for a couple of weeks, 9 days later, she said, I thought, you know, that couldn't have been because I listened to that music. So she said, I listened to one of those songs again. And she said, I was sick again, just like that. She said, this time I went to my husband and told him, Lord, honey, I repent. You got to pray for me. He said, no, I think it's time you weed your garden. He said, I'm not going to just pray for you every time. He said, you're going to have to weed that garden. So she said, I had listened to Dave's testimony about how to forgive and dig it up and plant it in the sycamine tree in the sea of forgiveness. And she said, when I listened to that, I said, okay, honey, I will do my gardening. And I'm going to get rid of all my sins, and then I'm going to make God a promise. I will not ever listen to secular music again. And she said, I did all that, and after I got my garden weeded, you know what she means by that, don't you?
Yeah.
She got all of her sins taken care of. She said, I had my husband pray for me one more time, and she said, now my husband and I both, after all those years, both of us are walking in divine health. I thought, praise God. Is God good? Is he good? He's awesome. But when we get those kind of letters, I love those kind of letters, don't you? Well, we get those all the time from people, and I love it. Now then, we're going to close with a word of prayer, and if you need to be prayed for, we will be here. Cheryl and I will be here at the front. Sharon is right over here. She will be here to pray for you. Hold your hand up, girl, so they know you. Some of you don't know Sharon. And then Dave is up there at the top. If you look around, see him. He's up there waving his hand. He'll be down here in just a moment after we pray, and all of us know how to pray the prayer of faith, so if you need any kind of prayer today, we will be here to pray for you. And we trust that you will keep coming back. We want to build your faith and show you how to walk in the wonderful power of God in these last days, because let me tell you, we are in the last days before our King returns. Y'all believe that? I believe it's so close, and so I believe we're going to have to walk in faith like we've never walked before, and to walk there, God's going to require us to walk holy as His church. We're going to have to learn how to speak and how to walk holy and obedient to His Word and stay in His Word so we can be that awesome, powerful body that He wants on this earth to be able to do the things He wants us to do, and He is a mighty God. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You and thank You that You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And You're our Lord, You're our God, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. And Lord, I thank You and praise You for all Your wonderful promises in this book, and that they're always yes and amen for all of us that obey You. And Lord, I ask You to help us to obey You. In Jesus' name, amen.